Welcome back to the show. I'm so glad you joined me today. Trevin Wax is my guest. And let's just be honest, that's a fun name to say. He is a publisher at Lifeway Christian Resources. He's a professor at Wheaton. And we're going to talk today about expressive individualism. Hi, Trevin. How are you?
Hi, Bill. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm excellent. You know, I was I remember hearing a Tim Keller sermon, and he was talking about Stanley Hauerwas at Duke. And he said, Hauerwas was saying that every culture before our culture believed right or wrong was determined outside the self by God, tradition, natural law, community, family, or whatever. This is the first culture that says, no, we get to determine what's right and wrong.
Yes, it's very true. I think that's where that individualism comes in that we're talking about with a name like expressive individualism. It's the idea that the self is really at the center of the universe and that the individual is the sole authority of defining who we are, what it is, what the purpose of life is, what it is that we're going after. I think this is one of the challenges that we have is trying to be the church in North American culture.
You know, I think it's interesting because when somebody says, I want to think and determine truth for myself, I don't think you're really doing that at all. You're trying to figure out what values you're going to align yourself with that already exist out there. Can you come up with anything new in this world?
Yeah, and I think people have a simplistic view of their own heart's desires. Because, you know, when people say that they're going to figure out their life for themselves and they're going to be defining themselves and defining their own purpose and goal in life and who they are and what they want to be, they assume that there is one thing that their heart wants. But the reality is, I think the Bible gives us a much more complicated but gloriously beautiful view of what the heart is. And our hearts are constantly... I say we're like a cauldron of competing desires. You know, what if you want certain things and you want other things and they come into conflict, and which of those things are ultimate, and how do you decide? It can't simply be based on what we feel or what we think we want the most. Generally, we understand that there are other factors that need to come into play that shape us and form us as individuals, and so. One of the things that the world tells us to do is to trust our hearts. But one of the things that the scriptures would warn us about is that, you know, the heart can be double-minded. The heart is desperately wicked, as the prophet Jeremiah said. Who can trust the heart?
Right. You know, Trevin, I think I might have jumped the gun on you a little bit because you've done all the hard thinking on this subject. So maybe we should just rewind a little bit and maybe start with a real nice definition of expressive individualism.
Well, I always start. I mean, there's some scholarly definitions out there because those are big scholarly terms. They come from Robert Bella, who wrote a book called Habits of the Heart, you know, more than 30 years ago. But I always go back to, if you want a quick way of understanding what we're talking about with those two big terms, I go back to the slogans in our society that are very popular. You know, like you be you and be true to yourself and just be yourself. And it's this idea that the purpose of life is to find out who you are deep down inside, to find out your unique essence, and then express that to the world, no matter what anybody else says, whether it be your family or a previous generation or a political party or a religious institution or what the surrounding society thinks. You be you. You figure out who you are deep down inside, the very core of your being, and then you express that to the world, and you want other people to affirm that identity that you create for yourself. That, in a nutshell, is what we're talking about when we use those couple of bigger words, the expressive individualism.
Mm-hmm. So, Trevin, does it make it more difficult for Christians to practice discipleship if they're trying to work so hard on expressive individualism?
I think it does. I think there's a good side and a bad side to it. The good side to it is there's a healthy aspect of discovering what it is that God has made you to be and wanting to express those gifts, to use those gifts for the good of the body of Christ. So, you know, Paul talks about the body is made up of many members and we all have different gifts and a calling, and our desire should be to to take whatever callings and gifts that we've been given and to use those for the betterment of the church. So there is a sense in which the individual is very exalted in Christianity. But like many things in society, we tend to take good ideas and good elements and truths, and then we tend to over-exalt them or to make idols of them. And so what makes it challenging for the church, I think, is the fact that this idea that you're just going to – that the purpose of life is to enjoy yourself and to find out who you are deep down inside, well, that really conflicts with the nature of discipleship, which Jesus says is, you know, to follow him means we must pick up our cross. We must die to ourselves daily, you know. We must deny ourselves, pick up our cross, follow him. But there's a cost to following Christ. There's a self-denial that is at root in Christian discipleship, and that our pursuit of our own fulfillment is actually through the cross, through self-denial, through us accepting mm-hmm. that the old us needs to be put to death and the new us needs to be resurrected through Christ. And so I think that's the challenge, is that in this kind of a culture, it's very difficult sometimes for the church to come alongside and say this is the way to live when everyone sort of assumes that they're in charge of figuring out the way that is they want to live.
Yeah, great point. I mean, God certainly calls us to community. Might expressive individualism lead us to isolation?
Well, absolutely. I think, in fact, you're watching that take place in the UK even and in the United States. I think the UK has recently installed a minister of loneliness, which simply because that seems to be a very big problem.
Wow.
The reason why isolation comes from expressive individualism is, you think about it, it sounds very freeing to not be dependent on anyone else, to not be relying on anyone else to help you understand who you are. You know, you're on your own. You need to figure out who you are, and no matter what anyone else says. The reason this leads to isolation is because love includes obligations. Love constrains us. And when we're in close relationship with other people, when we're in community, there's a burden to community. You know, it's a glorious burden, but it's certainly a burden. I mean, we have obligations to one another. We need each other. And so if you get close to someone else, then you may feel like your own freedom has been impinged upon to some level, to some degree, because you sense this need to perhaps deny something you want to do because of a need someone else has, you know? And so just in a culture that shies away from anything that would impinge upon our own personal freedom, community becomes something that we simultaneously long for and crave, and at the same time resist, because we know that obligations come alongside community. And so that's why we see this isolation, fragmentation, polarization taking place in our society, is partly because this way of living, it doesn't really work, and it leads to other challenges and other problems.
Trevin, I appreciate the thinking you've done on this. This is very interesting. Let me take a little break. When we come back, more with Trevin Wax. It's 15 minutes after the hour. Thanks for being with me today. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. It is 17 minutes after the hour. Trevin Wax is my guest. We're talking about expressive individualism. And Trevin, I just had to look up the lyrics to I Gotta Be Me. Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, whether I find a place in this world or never belong, I gotta be me, I gotta be me. What else can I be but what I am? As we talk about...
What a famous song.
Pardon?
What a famous song, and a good song to talk about this subject, for sure.
Yeah. As we talk about expressive individualism, I'm thinking, well, let's face it, people want to stand out in the world, but they also want to fit in and conform. So there's a conflict right from the get-go.
It's true. I mean, this conflict is really interesting. You watch people that decide, hey, I want to be different than everybody else. But it's what the funny thing is, by wanting to be different and stand out from everyone else, we actually look just like everybody else, right?
Right, right.
So in the kind of world that we live in, I don't think there's anything that is more of really standing out or going against the flow in our society than to decide, you know what? I'm going to not be conformed to this world. Instead, I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm going to be conformed to Christ. And I think conformity with Christ is something that just doesn't even make sense in a world where everybody tells you to be yourself, you know, be unique, stand out. When we decide we're going to follow Jesus and we want to be like him, that really is a changing the script, I think, for a lot of people in our society.
Mm-hmm. Trevin, why are some people so afraid of plugging into community? Is it does being alone with technology at home make things easier, or what's up with that?
Well, I think, I mean, again, like we mentioned before, there's risks with community, and so, you know, if you get too close to people, you might get hurt. You might have challenges. There's a risk when it comes to love. There's an obligation when it comes to community. Other reasons is because a lot of people have never really known close community, deep community. Especially in our technological age, a lot of people are they're connecting online perhaps more than ever, but they're not coming close together in community in physical ways. And I think that's something that needs to be considered in our day and age, and one of the reasons why people may be resistant to community.
Mm-hmm. Trevin, when we try to gain our identity from the world, we're in trouble. I mean, that's a house of cards that's going to collapse. And we can also always, you know, encourage people to just be realizing who they are in Christ. But there is some competition in the world for wanting to fit in and wanting to get our affirmation from the world.
That's true. That's true. And I think this is a temptation for every generation. It goes all the way back in Scripture. I mean,
I'm
you look
sure
at
is.
The
yeah.
the ancient Israelites. You know, they wanted to be like other nations. Time and time again, they would go after the idols of other nations, or they wanted a king like other nations. And this is the challenge for us as the church too. God has called us to be, you know, the light of the world, a light to the nations, and to take the name of Jesus Christ to the world. But when we follow some of the same idols, or we have some of the same desires and begin to live the same way as the people around us because we want to fit in, well, then we're really betraying our calling, and we're losing some of the power of what it means for us to truly be the salt of the earth.
Mm-hmm. Trevin, what might be a cultural trend that we might be tempted to follow, but would maybe cause compromise in our lives?
I think one of the biggest ones is to assume that that being on the right side of an issue is a signal of actual righteousness. I think this is a challenge in particular in a politically polarized environment. It can happen religiously and politically, but it's the idea that, you know, if I'm on the right side of this issue, whatever it is, or, you know, if I believe the right doctrine, then somehow that's equated with a righteous standing. That this is, you know, and this is where we find online a lot of what we might call virtue signaling, where we're signaling our virtue to one another based on the stances we're taking and the statements we're making and things like that, whether it be on Facebook or Twitter, Instagram, and other places. I think that's very dangerous because we're not justified by having the right doctrine or by having the right stance on a particular political issue. We can be right in what we believe and yet still be very wrong in how we're treating others, or still be very worldly in the way that we take that stance or the way that we make a case for Christianity. And so I think one of the trends that we need to be aware of is this idea that I'm on the right because I believe the right thing, or I believe whatever it is my tribe or my party or my church says, and that's what really makes me a good person or makes me righteous, and that really is just simply sowing the seeds for division, for conflict, and for the inability, I think, for us to see our own lovelessness at times in how we're interacting with others.
Trevin, will this expressive individualism take you down a road to complete exhaustion?
Absolutely, because it is exhausting to try to look down deep into your heart to find out what it is that you want the most and then to pursue it with all your might.
Yeah.
It's exhausting because our hearts are confusing. It's hard to see what's in there sometimes. You know, your desires are in conflict and changing. It's exhausting, too, because then everything is on you. Just think about this, Bill. I mean, if everybody is responsible for their own happiness, for pursuing whatever it is they want the most, then that means that your own happiness is completely dependent on whatever it is that you decide to do with your life. So, I mean, what if you've made the wrong call, or you pursued the wrong path, or you made the wrong decision? And I mean, if you're not happy, there's only one person that ultimately can be at fault for that, and it's yourself. And so there's this sense of exhaustion that comes about from this, because people are then they're pressured to give off this aura of happiness, so that other people will think that they are achieving their best life now, their purposeful life, you know, whatever it is. And that gets exhausting. It's a mask that people have to wear in order to make themselves feel like they're achieving the very best that they could achieve in their lives.
So, Trevin, what you're saying is, if you're pretending to be something you're not, plan on being exhausted.
It's exhausting to be a hypocrite. It's exhausting to not be authentic. It's true.
Yeah.
The rest comes, ironically, we find rest when we look to God, when we look to Jesus Christ, when we know that we are fully known and yet still also loved by God, who gave his son to be our Savior. And that's something that, even in the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season, when we can get exhausted physically as well as emotionally at times, that's one of the things we ought to remember this time of year.
And good reminder, I think it's in Matthew, that says we need to die to ourselves daily.
That's right. That's right. Jesus says that. I believe Luke is the one who gives us that statement from Jesus. But this sort of denying ourselves, picking up our cross, this is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, very important in the Gospels. They all saw fit to make sure that we got that statement of Jesus, because it's so vitally important to us understanding what this vision of discipleship is that Jesus has for us.
Mm-hmm. So we have an exhausted generation, and Christianity certainly just says, "Come to me, all of you who are tired and weary, and I will give you rest." That's a pretty significant promise.
It is. It is. You know, I love that quote that Augustine wrote, you know, there's 1,700 years ago, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you."
Mm-hmm.
And there's something beautiful about just this sense of it's only really in Christ that we find the rest that we truly are longing for.
Yeah. So we just have to be so vigilant about protecting our hearts and keeping our focus on the main thing and not looking for our significance in anywhere but Christ, right?
That's right. That's right. The world is going to pull us in many different directions and looking for fulfillment and satisfaction in other places. But by keeping our eyes focused on Jesus and by staying connected to his people in the church, that is the way that we can continue to stay the course.
Yeah. Trevin, I know that you are very busy and have got a lot going on. And this is me just caring about you as a brother in Christ. You also have had a very difficult year, haven't you, in your life?
We did. Last year was actually the really difficult year, although that, you know, the ramifications of that come about afterwards. But yes, my wife's mother became ill with cancer in May, and then died in September. And being on my wife being a Romanian, we're on two sides of the world with family and challenges and things like that. So these are the challenges that we had to face.
Yeah, and you were heading over to Romania, I think, and my condolences and sympathy and to you and your wife, but also that's very stressful, isn't it?
Well, thank you very much, and yes, it was, you know, this is one of the challenges of having an intercultural marriage where your families are separated, you're constantly, your heart feels like it's torn in two. And it, certainly that was the big challenge of that for us as a family. But, you know, the Lord is faithful through it. And we really saw the love and the beauty of our church family here helping us with that. And that was one of the good things to come from that,
yeah,
that experience.
Well, God bless you and your wife and family. And Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
And, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Have a great weekend. Yeah, Trevin Wax has been my guest. We'll take a short break and be back with more in just a minute.